Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Part about Hall of Fame weekend, obviously, is the enshrinement ceremony. I don't know how many of these guys you can name off the top of your head, but I will ask you this. Who's going to have the best speech? Here they are. Offensive tackle Tony Boselli, wide receiver Cliff Branch, Leroy Butler, the safety from the Green Bay Packers, Sam Mills, the longtime linebacker of the Saints, Richard Seymour, defensive lineman, Bryant Young, those are the players.
Mm.
Dick Vermeil's going in as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know Dick Vermeil,
mm-hmm.
coach of the Rams. And then Art McNally's a former on-field supervisor of officials and an official joins as a contributor. But of those guys, you know, we're always talking about the speeches afterwards, who really touched us when we come in here on those Mondays afterwards. Any of those guys stand out to you? Because there's one for me.
Leroy Butler.
You like Leroy?
Yeah.
Florida State, no?
Yeah.
Florida
like
State,
him.
Too.
Yes.
Did Leroy create the Lambeau Leap, not to real fast?
I think
yes.
I
think he was the first to do the Lambeau Leap. That's how much I know about Leroy,
yeah.
Leroy Butler.
And I think it's a personality. That's
Caused
all I know.
Big time problems for the Bears.
It could be Leroy. I think Richard Seymour is a sneaky one. I think he could have a good speech.
Vermeil will cry the whole time.
That he took my guy.
Vermeil?
Yes.
Yeah, he's just going to cry.
It will be.
I mean, sappy as all get out.
The crying game.
The dude is so.
It will be
I love him.
A cry show.
So friggin' sappy.
And it's going to be so long that he's going to be the only thing we can talk about because the tears will take over. The stories, the tears that we're going to get on Saturday. I believe the induction, the ceremony's on Saturday. Vermeil's going to take it over. Probably going to go past his time. Well past his time.
Poor Dick. Once he got over the greatest show on turf, he became. And I'm not trying to clown him. He's so sappy he can barely talk. Like, it's like, Dick, okay, we get
sort
it. You're
like
emotional about your career.
In the way
you know, like,
he's
little,
I'm not I'm not sure Dick Vermeil is, like.
You don't think he's going to hold the audience?
No, I don't. I don't know that he's a Hall of Fame coach.
Oh, wow. That's a take.
I mean, I'm looking at what he did.
Wow, that's a take.
He won the Super Bowl in 99 with the greatest show on turf, right?
Yeah.
Back to the Eagles, bro. Look at his old resume.
He built it.
Yeah. He won his division three times in his entire career, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did coach from 76 to 2005, three different stints, right? So he's a lifer.
Yeah, longevity.
I understand that. But his career record is 120 and 109. I mean, he's above 500 by a few games.
It's tough to have a winning record career for 30 years in the NFL.
They have established that everyone from the greatest show on turf is going in.
Except Torrey.
Yes, players right. to the coach. Torrey's going to get in.
He'll
you
get
just
in.
Can't leave him out.
No, he'll go.
He's got the numbers,
I mean,
to your point.
If you win,
I'm with you. He's
so
not in now,
okay,
but he will be.
Is Doug Peterson a Hall of Fame coach?
No.
Doug
Peterson has done it in how many decades?
No, but he
Dick
fell
Vermeil,
off.
Like you said,
but I'm saying, though, Doug Peterson.
Eons.
Okay, look, he won the Super Bowl in 99.
That was a one-off, we're thinking for
in
him.
In 2001. Well, it was a one-off for Vermeil.
Yeah, but he had good chances there with the Rams.
It was one of the greatest teams ever assembled, though.
Right, but, okay, he was there for 3 years, though. I mean,
I think you got a point, but again,
he's
a big part of putting together one of the greatest teams we've ever seen. Like, that's what that greatest show, that's why we call him the greatest show on turf. And with all due respect. You know, Doug Peterson won with a backup in Nick Foles. You know what I'm saying? A Philly team that you know, you'll barely remember other than the statue for Nick Foles sitting outside the building. For those outside of Philly, we're not going to remember that. So a little bit different there. We've already established that everybody from that greatest show is going in, and they're going to put the coach in as well.
Yeah.
You make a good point on his resume, but for as long as he coached, then he got the crowning jewel, he got the Super Bowl.
I didn't realize Dick's he had such a prestige. He had a college coaching career that I did not know about until
two
I started
years.
Looking at that.
He was at UCLA for 2 years.
I don't have his record in front of me. What was he? Wasn't he with the Eagles back in the day?
Yeah.
Yes. Was the record
82.
Not good? Was it not
54
good?
54 and 47 as the coach.
That's fine.
What was the farthest they went? Do you have it in
they
front of you?
They went to the Super Bowl, but they lost to America's team, the Raiders, when they reached that.
So he's 1-1 in Super Bowls.
Right. That is correct.
Yeah.
And then other postseason appearances, wild card loss, divisional loss, wild card loss, divisional loss. So, I mean, it's fine, but it's
Dick Vermeil gave to the game, and you know what he gave? Tears.
Right.
Tears.
All right, and that Hall of Fame tears.
No, it's
and
like
you're not gonna mess this up for him.
I mean, but
Hall of Fame tears.
It's a real talk. It's a real talk conversation that nobody wants to have.
They want to bust up Dick Vermeil on his day.
Dick Vermeil's resume is like good. It's a good resume
because your Raiders beat him in a Super Bowl back in the 70s. You don't have a lot of.
I'm just saying, Dick Vermeil's resume is good.
A lot of
is it Hall of Fame
Dick.
Worthy though? I mean, good grief. You know,
it's actually fair now that I'm
fair
kind of
to question,
digging
but we're
it in
letting him
bit.
Get in. John.
Well, that's fine. It's, like, it's not like it's a crime against humanity.
No, it's definitely a conversation now that I'm looking at this.
Yeah, I mean, look what he did since he won the Super Bowl: 6-10, 8-8, 13-3, 7-9, 10-6, one playoff appearance since that Super Bowl. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like
Kansas City. I forgot he was at Kansas City after the Rams. He was there for like 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, like, it is what
yeah,
it is.
It like,
I hope Calkins or Parrish don't make, like, the Radio Hall of Fame, because if they do, like, when the news gets out,
kill them.
John's going to talk about all their bad, why they shouldn't be in there.
You
right?
might have remembered those first five books.
Like, I'm not going to invite you, bro, to my, you know what I'm saying, when I get my award.
John, I actually, to your point, though, a lot of it is just, we kind of take guys like Dick, and we look at them through the prism of these short three-year stints they had with a
exactly.
team like the Rams, because the Rams were so stupidly good that we're kind of glaze-eyed about it.
Look, coaching is hard, okay?
No, I get it.
I recognize that, and, like, he's getting in, let's be clear, for his longevity. He's not getting in because he put together an amazing resume.
Is the fact that he was a pretty famous broadcaster help him, too?
Probably.
You know?
I mean, they all goes into the pot, you know?
He had a pretty good career doing that.
You know, you got that big son of a gun, that 6'5 guy that darkens your doorstep and says, thank you for all you've given the game. We'll give the game and continue to give the game. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
With I don't know his name, but he's like he shows up.
Yeah, he knocks on the door.
Yeah, and he's like, you know. He's
broad-shouldered, very tall gentleman.
Yeah, I don't know if he's still doing it. But,
yes, I believe he is.
Okay. But yes, like I want somebody to do that for me? Sure, I do. I would like that. It'd be fun if somebody just come up. You know.
It was interesting. I'm reading about his. I didn't read his autobiography. I probably should. But this Jerry Sandusky story, because I guess he was close with Paterno, and he's like nothing could discolor the quality of Joe Paterno's legacy.
This is Dick Vermeil
this
saying
is
this.
Dick Vermeil in that.
We're gonna
in
have
that
to.
Book.
We're gonna have to revoke this. We're gonna have to revoke this for his blind co-signing of Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno's legacy. You
I'm sorry, bro. This is just like not. You know,
didn't realize that.
Look, Doc Rivers is a Hall of Famer, right? He's gonna go down as a Hall of Famer as a coach because he's won a title and he's done it for so long. Mm-hmm. But when you really peek at that resume, right? When you really like look deep into it. It's not Hall of Fame-esque.
We should probably stop this now because this is his day, to Jason's point, though.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
I think David Baker is the name of your guy. Yeah, that's why I got quiet. I was trying to find the name of your knocker
David Baker.
Guy.
Okay. Thank you for all you've given the game.
Yeah. And I believe he's still doing it.
He did it to he showed up on CBS for Bill Cowher. That was cool. That was it. And I think his daughter was there. Like, I'm always a sucker for those moments, when the daughter's there and
like
the kids
Bill
are
Cowher.
There.
He's
you
good.
Know what I'm saying? But
football's
this,
back, man. I know you got big dreams this season. Happy for you that you're going to have a good team.
We do have big dreams.
You're going to be relevant.
But
you might make the playoffs.
It's
again.
Very like it's very you know my investment level is very like I am invested, of course. But like in terms of my outward, you know, I mean, yes, do I congratulate all of you and all of America tonight that you get to see the beautiful display that is silver and black?
That.
Of course,
that'd
I think
be ridiculous.
I think you all can consider your lives. Enhanced and enriched by that broadcast tonight. The idea that the NFL chose the Raiders as a feature of the Hall of Fame game tonight is an absolute benefit to your life.
Just roll back around to y'all, didn't it?
Yeah, y'all's quality of life, I can honestly say, will be better for the Raiders having been on television tonight. But in terms of my like outward, you know, embracing of these expectations and these pressures, like it's tough for me because I know. I know where this goes. I know where this goes.
It goes to disappointment.
And I'm not an idiot. I look at the division and I know like I can sit here and I can say, oh, the Raiders are gonna win the debate, but come on, man. I mean we're gonna outgun Mahomes, we're gonna outgun Herbert.
At least you got a little sense.
You know? I mean I think it's gonna be tough. I think it's gonna require I'm not really worried about the offense as much as we've talked about, right? Yeah. I'm worried about you know, getting stops, like we've said, our secondary was among the worst in the NFL last year. These are the things that matter, right? And so, no, I don't think we're going to represent...
relevant, but not a contender is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think we're going to be a team that's fun to watch, that people will enjoy having on TV, you know, that will be a fun team, put up points. You know, I kind of like what I thought the Bengals were last year. I didn't think the Bengals were a Super Bowl team. They shouldn't have been. But they made it. They made it. They got hot at the right time, and that's what mattered. You know, they won't do that again. I think they'll be kind of Bengals-esque. You know, that's kind of how I and without the Super Bowl appearance.
Well, yeah, it's always going to be a step back after you don't make a Super Bowl,
right?
Or you made it the year before.
Yeah, there's always like a massive hangover.
What you're saying is feels more like two steps back for Bengals.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I mean, that's the team. Like, all right, you know, I'm fading the Titans. I'm fading the Bengals this year.
Well, I don't know now because the Deshaun situation, that could be two wins for them against Cleveland.
Could,
now,
you're
you know
right.
What I'm saying?
Yes, that's fair.
So it's changed a little bit. But that division is tough even without Deshaun Watson.
So you got big plans tonight?
I'll probably check you out a little bit.
I mean, I would like I think it's only right.
We're going
to
be whoop, martial arts about 7 when that thing comes on.
Okay.
So, again, I'll catch the back half. Probably going to miss Dylan Parham early. I'll see if I like anything in terms of your 4th and 5th stringers.
Okay. And then you'll
That's
share.
Where I'm going to catch on.
And you'll share with us.
I can see a lot. I might find you a cornerback, and Lord knows you need some.
What's the
you got no corners?
What's
y'all
the,
need? Greg Rubin,
three eyed Raven,
White Station.
You're the preseason 3-eyed Raven.
That's right.
Bro.
And until I miss, that will be the case. Last year I was dead on.
You are one for one.
Dead on.
Now be careful because this is not exactly the full
compliment. I'm sure in previous preseasons before I had this title, I also pointed some things out, but I just don't get the credit for that. We only do that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the shtick of the show. It just is.
That's how it rolls.
All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Jeff Coggins will join us at 1:25. Talk to him about Seth Hennigan, about Memphis football, the year ahead for them, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Chris McCauley Roofing Renovations. You might have some damage to your roof. Your roof might be outdated. You might be like Jason yesterday and notice that you got standing water in your home. Chris McCauley can handle it all. I've seen him do it. Did it on my house. Every time I got a problem, I pretty much call him. And he's got the answer. He's got the fix. Sometimes he can even get them covered. No out-of-pocket costs me through my insurance. Love those days. Love those problems. When he comes out, let him know. You heard about him on the Jason and John show. He's going to throw in a free roofing upgrade.
487-7096 is how you get Chris McCauley on the horn and out to your house and on top of your roof. He's going to look like Superman up there the way he's built, and that'll be okay. Because just like Superman, you can rest assured the problem will be taken care of and at the best price in town. You got a small problem, he's going to tell you you got a small problem. You got a big one, he's going to take care of it for you. You appreciate the honesty in 2022. You're certainly going to get that with Chris McCauley. You can check out his website at McCauleyRoofingLLC.com. Again, that number, lock it in, because whether it's your roof or renovation questions, he'll take care of you. 901-487-7096. It's McCauley Roofing and Renovations.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's get it.
Now, it's the rundown presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right. So, at some point, we were going to have to talk about this story, and I suppose now is the time to do it. Russian court sentenced WNBA star Brittany Griner to 9 years in prison. She was arrested February 17th for bringing cannabis into the country, those vape charges, right? She had been prepared for a harsh sentence because, look, we all, I think, understand where we are in this country and in the world with, you know, the geopolitics and everything like that. So sources close to Brittany Griner said that she was expecting a harsh sentence, and that is exactly what she got, 9 years. So, look, if this was like you or me, right? We'd be doing the 9 years. I have no doubt about that. I have zero doubt about that. We would be we would see you in 9 years, honey. Now,
who's the guy they already got that on the 2-for-1 deal?
Paul Whelan.
And how long has Paul been there?
For a while.
To your point.
Yeah, and he's he's a government official, right? I don't think he's just an average American, right?
But it low profile in terms
That's
of
right. He's not a
attention
celebrity.
Paid
yeah.
to it.
No, you're right. They will you know. And that's just the way it goes. When there's no public pressure beyond
Again,
your
family.
Again,
I don't know what all his charges were and everything else, but back to that point, yeah, that little bit lower profile one, he's obviously been over there. This one with Griner has been on everything you see.
So you know, here's the history here. Paul Whelan was held in pretrial detention for a year and a half, okay, before he was convicted in June 2020. So that dude's been over there for 4 years.
Jeez.
Okay. Trevor Reed, who's another American, he was arrested in August 2019, convicted in July 2020, didn't come home until this April. And that's when America agreed to a prisoner swap because they found out that Reed was reported to be in poor health, right? So they probably be, you know, all manner of things are going on over there. So if Brittany Griner was just a Jason Smith or John Martin, her ass would still be over there, no questions asked. We wouldn't be talking about this. But, look, she's over there wrongfully. There's no doubt about that.
Well, and she's over there to make money, right? Because how little you make in the WNBA, she's in. We wouldn't, you and me wouldn't be over there because we would say, no, you're not going to Russia, especially at this time.
Right,
yes. Quite frankly, you don't trust anything going on over there.
Yeah,
back
right.
to the point. Griner's over there to make money because she can't make as much here. That's the point of her being there.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different there.
Yeah, so now...
That said, either way, it's...
Now Americans and Russians will engage in earnest in these negotiations.
And they had to find her guilty to do so.
Correct, exactly. So,
how much money does it take for you to go play basketball in Russia?
She probably gets $1 million a year, I would guess.
I heard Jay Williams and Max Kellerman talking on this, and Jay seemed to be a little bit more informed on the WNBA side, said she could quadruple her earnings in Russia. And that's part of the reason why we still have women going to Russia, because you can do so much better.
It's an exorbitant amount of cash.
Think about Brittany Griner's profile in the WNBA.
Yeah.
She's an all-star. But the fact that she feel like you still got to go over there to make, number one, that's how lucrative it is.
You're not getting paid that much in this
league. But number two, you're not getting paid that much, obviously.
That
so,
league.
Yeah, the fact that she's having... Now, Max Kellerman's big thing was, well, don't send anybody over to a country where you've got a war criminal, you know, and Vladimir Putin,
right.
you know, calling the shots, and he's the judiciary and everything else. Well, that's easy said, but when you're in the case of that's where you make a living, right?
I don't think I would even take $1 million to go work in Russia.
Well,
is that wrong?
Now.
Am I dumb for... Even prior to this, I wouldn't have done it.
The larger point should be, right, for us, make it where these women can earn a living playing basketball here, right, and don't feel the need to go overseas to do it.
Yeah.
That's the other way to solve it, is it not?
Well, yeah.
And I know I can't just say, we're not talking equal pay here between WNBA and NBA, but can you get it to a
would
point
you have taken,
where you don't need to, John, take chances and go to Russia to do it? Can
would
we
you
get
have
it
taken
to
$1 million to go to Russia to do radio?
Well, no. No.
And we don't pay that.
Right.
No, but let me ask you something, Brad. Would you take $700 million to go to Saudi and do it?
I've talked to my wife about that one.
Man, it's funny. I heard
$700 million.
I think it's bananas that
I'm even contemplating it.
The fact that you said that you wouldn't, because I heard Steve Harvey said he would do Family Feud. He would do the Miss America.
He would do the radio show from Saudi. Yeah.
Okay, and he's rich already.
I know he said he
would do it all from there.
No,
for
$700. I'm sorry, if you say the job
they're doing now right. would not take $700 to $800 million to go do it in Saudi.
You're lying.
Because that person, man, that's Jesus. I mean, in terms of what you would be willing to turn down. Because that's going to drive people crazy. Your own wife might say you a fool for, you know what I'm saying?
I'll donate $15 million to, you know, a 9/11 fund or something. Like, there's ways to.
So it made me think about you that just in the sense of if you would be willing to stand up and say, no, this is blood money, I'm not willing to go do my radio show over in Saudi because I think the answer is no. No, but these are two separate questions. Is yes.
Here's the difference, though. The Russian question that I posed to you is all about personal
security.
Well,
you said $1 million. That's what got us here. Yeah, you said, would I go do it in 1 million?
Okay, well, let's say it's $500 million. The Russian thing is so that one to me is just her being a dummy, and I'm sorry. That may make me a bad person, but that's a separate question than the second question.
I mean,
it's not enough money. Even
it's easy to look back now and say, don't go over there because we know what happened, right? We know the tensions, and we know. But I mean, people were doing this year in and year out with no incident.
By the way, I'm a fan of hers. I'm not even joking.
WNBA players going to Russia because again, that's where you get some of the more lucrative contracts for women overseas.
So
they've got the best.
Brittany Griner was doing is what hundreds and hundreds of other high profile WNBA players were doing, which was playing overseas.
But she also chanced it.
She did. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, that's the part.
So that's even part one. So that's even part one. Part two is to your point that you're just going in there is having any suspected item.
Right,
or
I don't
even
take any weed with me in
just,
a country
you gotta be
where
clear,
again,
bro.
The judiciary is literally Putin.
They're looking for you. They were looking for her.
So you're going there, and John, I think in that case, if we're all going over there to make a living, we're going to go with nothing, so that we can't
nude.
Get in, so that there can't be any trouble, so we can get our money and get out. And that again, that was part of the risk she took.
I don't know. Man.
I know there's been reports out there that this was for a medical condition too. They've tried to play that card, but what you know is that it's super illegal there, and they can get you. And frankly, imprison you for 9 years
on it. So terrible. Yeah, so
are you willing to take that risk? Most of us, I think, would say no.
Yeah, I mean, Brittany Griner, Breonna Stewart, Courtney Vandersloot, Allie Quigley, these are all women who have played over there. Like that is just what you do. You know, you play your WNBA season, then
the best of the best have
go
gone
over
there
right?
Yes.
And
yes,
only until now has it been an issue because she happened to go over there at a time when tensions between America and Russia and the world, quite honestly, are at Cold War type highs. And she unfortunately is caught in the political collateral and the crossfire of this. And yes, she did chance that the vapes are ridiculous, but I also am not naive enough to believe that if the Russians wanted to keep her over there, they would have found a way to keep her over there. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, they can plant stuff on you. It doesn't matter whether it really happened or not. You're in their custody. You're in their country. I mean, they can say whatever the hell they want. Dude, it happens in this country. I mean, it's happened in this country.
Yeah.
I have.
In this case, she's admitted it was her.
Well, no, I mean, yes.
Yeah. I see your point, but what you're saying, though, yes.
Yeah. We can,
in terms of the risk, they'll do whatever they want to do to you.
In this case, it did happen, right? But if they identify
you. If they
want to
keep you, they'll keep you, especially in these times.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? I've never been out of the country. And one of the reasons I've never been out of the country is I'm skittish on it. Even like friendly countries, I'm skittish on it. Is that crazy?
I think, kind of. I mean, I think the overwhelming majority. We've gone over the travel advisories. I can send you the level fours. You should be pretty good.
I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here either. I literally have never traveled abroad or done any foreign travels.
John had me. He surprised me that Jamaica's level three.
Yeah, Jamaica's level three.
And we just got back.
But, you know, Mexico is, like, great. Love going to Mexico.
But
now,
I have a family member who travels to Mexico, and he's seen gunfire, like, in Mexico City and some of these places. Like, it's not outrageous.
Well, you'll see gunfire in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it ain't like you're, you know,
some people have a travel advisory level four on us sometimes.
But absolutely. They certainly did during the peak of COVID, you know. So, yeah, no, I think if you want to, like, go to United Kingdom, go to, you know, Spain, go to, you know, I mean, now Europe, depending on where you go.
Yeah.
Right? It may or may not be a great time, you know. Like, Serbia's about to go to war, right? I mean, I don't know if you're up on that.
Serbia?
Yeah.
Really? You have family over there, don't you?
I do. So, yeah, that's getting pushed back indefinitely.
Sorry.
All right? So
going, huh?
Hell no. They're like, you know, it's like Kosovo. That's who they're, you know, they're like. It's
Kosovo.
Like, yeah, sorry, Kosovo. Yeah. They are lining up the border there and, you know.
I would never travel there, ever.
Not a chance.
And not even here, then, or now.
Yeah, that ain't happening. But
no
I'll,
way.
I'll meet you in England.
Is your, not to get into it, but your father, it's a big family, right? At some point, you got. Like family over there, it's not just your father-in-law. It's a lot. It's his. Is it not a side of the family that's large over there in terms of
most? I don't know how. I mean, there might be a few. I'm not
okay. Okay,
but like his parents were.
That's scary.
Here.
Is all what I'm saying.
Yeah,
okay, his parents
scary.
Were here. Okay, okay,
yeah,
okay.
His parents.
Oh, man.
His parents moved here. But I don't. You know, again,
there's
I don't.
Certainly going to be some family over there.
There's just a lot of. There's a lot of ish going on in Europe right now.
Scary.
There's a lot of like. It's like you just realize like how like you don't in America you're just so like insulated.
I love
from
America
it.
So much.
You know, like, but there's like war is part of the world's history like every day. Like these folks go to like there was a war that happened in 2020 that I didn't even know what happened until I like was just going down a rabbit hole. You know, like
we're so fortunate, bro.
It's like it's crazy how often war is just like going on, man. You know, it's just happening every single day. And, yeah, when it is going on like that, there are going to be people like Brittany Griner, unfortunately, who are caught in the collateral of it. So I don't know how it's going to end. You know, I know most people are focusing on sort of the details of the transaction. Victor Bout, the, you know, merchant of death.
Merchant of death.
You know, maybe
sounds like it's going to be a 2-for-1, no?
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah.
United States already offered that, and now that Russia's right. been saying, well, we can't deal with it yet until we find right. her guilty or not. And now that you've got her guilty and yes. you sentenced her to 9 years, we should be able to move forward. No?
This would put Russia over the cap, so I'm not sure what their I'm not sure what their I'm not sure.
I'm down with laughing at it. I this is where I'm at.
Look, man, I mean, you got to laugh. You know
it
what
is
I'm saying?
It is the worst though. This woman, I hope that wonder what the treatment's like over there. I'm sure it's subpar. You know, it's just terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen how they've treated Ukraine.
Yeah.
They don't give a hot damn about anybody. Human yeah. rights, nothing.
Awful.
So in terms of the treatment she got, I can
guarantee
you
know it's bad.
It ain't first class. Moving on.
Next story.
Yeah, here we are.
Let's just get this done, frankly, so we can all move on. Brittany Griner's back. NFL has appealed Deshaun Watson's 6-game suspension. You know that news now. Now we're all trying to figure out what happens next. The ball is now in the NFLPA's court. They can, now that the NFL and Roger Goodell have filed and said that they're going to appeal, now the NFLPA can take this thing to court and not just threaten to sue, but sue, and that's expected to be what happens. Now, the NFL has made it pretty clear through all kinds of sources. Now, they wanted at least a year, and they wanted Deshaun Watson fined. Part of Sue Robinson's judgment on Deshaun Watson, the 6-game suspension, was no fine at all. NFL wants a fine. It wants treatment for Deshaun Watson, but it clearly wants more than the 6 games, and we're not talking 8. Remember, there were settlement talks before the 6-game suspension was made public between Deshaun Watson and the NFL. And the NFL was not interested in 6 to 8 games. And so the idea, right, that now Roger Goodell might settle for 8, way off here, because what's been out there and what you've leaked already is that you want a year. You want it way more substantial than 8 games. So in terms of could they come to a settlement before this thing's all said and done? Not if it's anything less than 8 games. Well, if it's at less than anything other than a full year suspension is what I think. So I don't think there'll be any settlements. And there don't have to be, because Roger Goodell, in the end, will be the guy that makes the decision. You know, the NFLPA said years ago, we're tired of Roger Goodell being the judge and jury and the executioner, frankly. We want more power. And what do they decide with the NFL? Okay, well, in the next collective bargaining agreement, we're going to get that third-party arbiter to come in, and he'll be able, he or she, Sue Robinson in this case, will be able to make a determination, and then we'll have an outside party be able to come in here. Roger Goodell won't have so much power. But, okay, sounds good. But what you also sign in that is the fact that Roger Goodell and the NFL can then appeal, and the appeal is heard by who? Roger Goodell. So in the end, you really changed nothing. You took, maybe for a stage, but that's only if Roger Goodell agrees to the punishment. Why would he do that? And especially in a sense where he wants way more, and like we said, was, you know, held out optically, still being held out optically on the Ray Rices if you don't care about women and men's treatment of them. And so this is all about Roger Goodell, quite frankly, and it's why he shouldn't designate someone else to hear the appeal. He should put his own face on it, make the determination himself.
Right.
And as a part of that, John, at some point, the NFL's got to go back into its code of conduct and change the language in that allowed Sue Robinson, frankly, to come down on, well, these are your own rules. You guys are trying to get me to change a punishment on your own rules. Was a nonviolent offender here. I'm just going with what you wrote. So part of the NFL's stance here needs to go back and changing that language that in this case, okay, you make violent acts against women one thing, but nonviolent acts, which this falls in a much different category. No, acts against women, disgusting acts against women should all be put to a point where you can, again, suspend for a season or whatever it's going to be. That's on the NFL. So a lot to digest here. Again, next question is going to be whether or not Deshaun Watson ever sees the field this season. I've seen both sides of this argued, both by sides, folks that would know. And so this is a real question right now. Mike Tannenbaum said this morning he doesn't think Deshaun Watson's going to play, that this will be held up and that no court's going to put Deshaun Watson on a field while the NFL is going through this process because of the CBA. You go back to the language of it, the NFL's got this right. The players gave it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see what happens for Cleveland. It's, you know, they were smiling. Deshaun Watson was on the field in training camp. Everybody's smiling, feeling good, you know, about him being back and able to practice during preseason while he's serving the 6-game. Nobody should have been smiling. They should have known this was coming from Roger Goodell and that the fight for them was not going to be over. So steps to be still to be determined. Clearly, the Cleveland Browns, this changes everything about their season potentially and what could be. But again, the football in terms of Deshaun Watson being on the field, that's going to be decided at a much later date.
Yeah, look, I think you're right. The overwhelming majority of this is rooted in the NFL's image consciousness and knowing that they have handled situations like this in the past embarrassingly poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And in those cases did not do justice to the victims. And in those cases, essentially diminished them, right? By these light, and that's kind of what Judge, Sue Robinson said, like, look, all I have to go on is the way that you've, handed down punishments in the past when it comes to.
Correct.
And she lumped, the controversy over this is she lumped Deshaun Watson's, transgressions
behavior into the non-violent actions. Category.
Right. Which is like, again, that's very interpretive. Like, you will get different sides of the aisle on that, right? So I do think this is the NFL saying, and Roger Goodell recognizing, hey, we have dropped the ball in the past. We have, in the end, they are a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar brand, and women are a big part of fandom, right? Women go to games. Women purchase merchandise. Women, are fans as well, and they deserve to be, I think, treated with respect and heard. And so I think this is definitely an optic situation, but it's also necessary, too, for this particular case. This is not one or two. This is 30. This is a repeated pattern time and time again. These cases were all settled. That doesn't mean admission of guilt, of course. But, and also the other thing, too, the Texans enabled it. The Texans actively enabled it by allowing an employee, a security, handing out NDAs, things like that. You're enabling this behavior. There's got to be some real punishment doled out. It's got to be felt. Six games with no monetary fine. Deshaun Watson is not going to feel that.
Yeah, with you completely. But how can you not have the same energy again toward a Daniel Snyder?
Right.
Well, that's true. And we know why.
Because you take this strong stance, right? Because Goodell's got to look
right.
So good here. But when that's against a player. How is that not fraudulent if you're not using the same energy when it comes to going after Daniel Snyder and the environment there with the Washington football team?
Well, and look, I am not
and the way
here.
They objectified women and everything else. And it was repeated, and we've
right.
seen witnesses come forward and talk about it.
Right.
This wasn't just a one-off.
No, you're
There's
right.
not the same energy level.
No,
but back to the point. Okay, you get that. It's separate there. But, again, we can't sit up here and say, great stand by Roger Goodell when it
right.
comes to Deshaun Watson. And the way you're not going to have this when it comes
right.
to your treatment
That's
of
it.
Women, but then you treat the Snyder thing completely different. And, frankly, the only thing that's come out of that is you hang a coach, John Gruden,
right.
on something completely separate.
Which had nothing to do with
right.
the
If you're
the
taking
case.
The true
yes.
stance for women here, it's got to be the same energy across
no,
the
look,
board.
I am not trying to be a bootlicker for the NFL here.
And that with is, Kraft, it was the same thing. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How much do they really want to look into that mess?
But unfortunately, I'm not saying that this is right, but the reason why Daniel Snyder is being treated differently than Deshaun right. Watson is because he makes
right.
Roger Goodell
but,
money.
But my whole point is, but we can't. Let's not sit here up here and applaud Goodell
no,
on
I
the
agree.
Deshaun one if
no,
you're not
going to really,
do it all the way across the board.
I can't
sit up here. Good job, Roger Goodell.
No, I think it's
if
the,
we're not seeing it across the board and applied in
I
all
think
circumstances,
this is Roger Goodell doing the absolute bare minimum. I mean, I really do.
Yeah, well, it's like, about him and his right,
yeah.
right and his reputation.
Like, I'm not writing a think piece out here about how this is finally like a shining moment for Roger Goodell's legacy, dude. No. This is like what any decent, reasonable human being would do. What kind of message would it send again when, you're giving out lighter punishments for sexual assault than you are
yeah.
gambling? And we could go down the list of things.
My
right.
Own, but it's less message than it is when trying to win a PR battle is what it is.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Roger Dale don't have a hot damn.
Yeah.
This is about
which is why he won't
trying
levy
to win
the, it won't be back. Him doing it.
Pass the ball. I could see it,
that's
Brad.
It's not going to be him.
I could see it.
He ain't going to be doing that.
Chickening out and saying, no, I'm going to yeah. give it to somebody else. I'm going to designate it to somebody because he's got that ability.
His name won't be on that thing.
Instead of putting his own name on it, which he should.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with that. And again, I think, we live in a time now where if you are not conscious of things like this in sports, you got to get your head out of your ass because this is long overdue. This is long the way it should have been in the NFL. It was not. Now, and this was not all on Roger Goodell. I don't think all of this occurred under his watch. A lot of it has, but he is not the only guy that has run the NFL, right? There have been many other commissioners. So it takes time. Change does take time. But I do think, like, yeah, this is going to set the new precedent where if you get jammed up in cases like this and you're out here doing things like this and it comes out and, you know, there's some validity to the you're toast.
You don't have to have committed a violent act or have criminal charges for them to banish you for a year. In some cases,
yeah,
that's going to be called for.
And look, here's the thing. Like, I have a daughter, you know, like that, like that changes like my view on all these things. Is now it's like I'm raising a young girl in the house. And so, like, I got to, like, who's protecting her, right? And it's not the NFL's job to protect my daughter, but it is the NFL's job to make sure that if indeed it does happen on somebody that they employs watch, that there is that commensurate punishment. You know, like, don't allow this, right? Don't sort of, you know.
But the NFL didn't allow it to be commensurate public punishment because of the way it wrote its own conduct policy. It was asking Sue Robinson to step way outside of her own jurisdiction to go, say, suspend him for a year. So if you want to do that against your own language, Goodell needs to be the – he's got the power to do it. The players gave him that, but he's got to be the one to go do it.
I totally agree.
He's disagreeing with what this woman ruled. But in this case, she agreed with the NFL that this was egregious behavior, but according to your own rules, I can't punish him to that degree.
Well, the rules have to be rewritten.
That has to be part of this.
Yes,
it has to be part of this.
You know, again, they have in the last 2 years, they have become far more image conscious. They have become far more brand conscious. Like, can you imagine going back to 2016, Black Lives Matter flags flying at stadiums? You cannot. You could not have them. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, among many other things, is no longer playing in the NFL because of that stand in particular, right? Fast forward 5-6 years later, the end zone
it was just their way of trying to make the Colin thing right, and in the end, it's just more symbolic than anything else. The kid still lost his career.
Right. Well, and look, I do think this is symbolic, too, in a way. I mean, appealing this is the bear. Like,
again, yes, PR battle.
It is.
Symbolic. That's more than anything else.
But you still have to do it, though. You still have to do it.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, you had to. But
it's one you have to do.
This ain't leaving your desk. Know that you're going into a rabbit hole again, and this is going to be talked about for the entire year now and all the time while Deshaun Watson's
but
gone.
I also do think it sends a message to any other NFL player that if they get caught and also, look, Miles Bridges is a different league, but Miles Bridges is banned from the NBA forever.
But that's your point. Right now, the message is only to the player. And that's what the players will see in the end.
Right.
Now, these players shouldn't have signed something that ultimately gave the power back to Goodell in the end.
The CBA, right?
Yeah. I mean, they did that when you agreed to the, due arbiter, but in the end, Goodell's going to rule on it.
The NFL makes so much money.
They got to be smarter.
The amount of money they make is so much that it overshadows all of this, even as bad as this PR hit is for them. It just, there's so much mass that it just, they'll get away with it. My question to y'all is, I go to Greg Hardy, unfortunately. I'm sorry. And some of
that's one.
I go to these guys because how does the NFL reboot and get this thing right the ship on their, whether it's coaches or owners or abusive guys like Greg Hardy or guys like Deshaun Watson who just are seriously taking advantage of women and abusing women? You know, how do you right the ship on all this stuff and try to get it righted?
Well, I would say first and foremost, there are 1,700 active roster NFL players today, right? That there are 32 teams. Every team has a 53-man roster. That comes out to about 1,696, all right? And so among those almost 1,700 players, we hear about, you know, a Deshaun Watson, a Greg Hardy. You know, it's not as though it is happening every single day. That being said, I mean, that's a bigger conversation about the nature of football, what happens, you know, the kind of person that plays football.
The gladiator-ness of
positions.
The sport.
Yeah. I mean,
they're even complaining about these bubble helmets. This is somewhat related to the gladiator sport type of personality. They don't want to wear those either.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I don't want to wear the bobblehead thing. You know, maybe you should wear them for all the games.
Yeah. Antonio Brown was like, I don't want to wear one at all. I'll just play without a helmet.
Yeah.
You know, that was the controversy. Remember when we came to the Raiders, he didn't want to wear that new helmet.
Right, I do.
Yeah. He's like, I'll just play without one. Well, buddy, that's kind of the problem. You know, that's why we're in this boat with you. Right.
Right.
Because you probably have CTE. But regardless,
it's related to that type of mentality.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a very violent sport, and so there's a gene of violence that comes with it.
Sexism and assault.
I can't,
and, you know,
you know, I I do think the point, though, that you're making, Jason, is like, let's keep the same energy for the owners just because they make you money, just because they, you know, support you being in that seat.
Otherwise, the stand on Deshaun looks hollow.
Right. It's corrupt. Yeah. It's a corrupt organization.
More PRs than anything. Yeah, I don't.
I'm not like I'm not celebrating in the streets. They're appealing, you know, because
they had to.
Like, there was no alternative. There was no alternative for the NFL to just sit and say, all right, six games, no fine. See you in week seven. I mean, but that's ridiculous.
Again, position it more. That's right. My point as a PR battle. Yeah. That it is an actual stand for women.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
If you're making a stand for women, you're going after totally Daniel agree. Snyder, too.
Yeah.
You know, with the same energy.
Yes. Anyway, I don't expect to see Deshaun Watson this year, do you?
It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
Tannenbaum, smart man. He knew about Tannehill before
the
three-pick game.
We need to catch up with him and ask him about Tannehill again.
Well, again, one game. They got the one seed. Do you remember that last year?
Yes, they did.
Yes, he had a bad game.
And they dropped the ball.
But what I didn't know about Tannenbaum is that he's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer.
I know that. Yeah. Found that out this morning. He says no Deshaun for the whole season, he thinks. And right. I'm going to roll with him. Going to be tough for the Browns for a whole year of Jacoby Brissett. Maybe you should have gone after Jimmy G at this point.
Well, they still could, right?
Might, yeah.
And they might now do that.
The Browns were on the list in terms of...
And they're the only team that had the cap space to absorb it.
And no one's done it yet, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting.
Now they're showing Jimmy throwing it, you know,
Jimmy G is better than Brissett.
The shoulder's okay. Yeah, it's an upgrade from Brissett.
Yeah.
You talk Brissett for a whole season?
Right.
You're giving up.
Yeah, that is brutal.
It's mediocre's at best.
Right.
You know? You're looking,
at 7-10. Because then what happens when Brissett gets hurt?
8-9.
Then what you got?
Ooh.
I mean, that's the bottom of the barrel.
But they have to make a move now.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, again...
Either way, like, I would hedge against it. If Deshaun Watson...
Unless there's some appeal way to get him on. Like I said, I've seen it argued the other way, but it doesn't sound like it.
Worst case scenario, he did.
Brady kept playing. And that's why I think initially a lot of people said, okay, well, just be like Deflategate where you kick the can down the road and you can keep playing.
And wasn't it like a stupidly short suspension, too?
He ended up with a 4-gamer. He ended up losing, right?
He refused to serve even 4. He was like, I am not serving 4 games. And did he end up serving?
I think so.
He ended up getting the four.
They lost in the end.
But
the
that NFL dude was like, I refuse to.
But he kicked the can down the road. He threw away his phone. Jeez. Remember all that?
Yeah.
He wasn't going to be a part of the
But then he won the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
That same year.
Yeah.
He won the Super Bowl.
And so it worked out for him.
As he was appealing the NFL for his 4-game suspension for Deflategate, Roger Goodell had to hand him the trophy. That is pretty great. Man. That is pretty damn great. But I would say, like, if I'm the Browns, from the football perspective, worst case scenario is I got to pay a year of Jimmy G's salary and Deshaun Watson comes back after 7 games or 6 games or whatever. You know, best case scenario is I lose Deshaun Watson for a year and I have an upgrade over at the quarterback. Because I'm assuming I'm losing him for a year based on the decision here and the action.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's the way to go. Jeff Cox is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about Memphis football, the year they got potentially coming up. Seth Hennigan, what he saw, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Move on down. See our friends at Homer Scott and Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Millington.
I'm hearing it's a great time to buy a car.
Gotta believe it.
Deals on deals on deals. I don't know about y'all, but when I'm shopping for something like that, you know, a big purchase like that, I want a deal. I want to know that I got a deal. And that's what our friends down at Homer Scott and Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram are here to do. They're here to find a deal, make a deal. They got cars on the lot. Wagoneers, Grand Cherokees, Ram 1500s, go see for yourself. And when you go down there, make sure you ask for our man Shaq. He will take care of you.
Yep, they want you to make this the summer. That's why they've got the Make This the Summer event going on right now. Going to make you the best deal on a Challenger, Charger, Ram 1500. John's mentioned them, the Wagoneer. Can make you a great deal, great incentives on the new Wagoneer. I got the Grand Cherokee, lightly used in my case. Got low mileage, just like I wanted. Got a 7-year warranty. Shaq took care of me. He'll take care of you. You'll see it's like family when you get out to 7661 U.S. Highway 51 North in Millington. You're going to love the look of that lot. Full. And if what you want is not on it, Shaq and his folks going to go out and get it for you. So if you're out in the need of a car, you got to buy one, you better head over to Homer Skelter Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, or you're doing it wrong. Go see for yourself how just a bunch of normal guys in the car biz change their lives four tires at a time.
All right, we're back. One thing that we have not mentioned that what we should do, we should congratulate our friend, the artist formerly known as The Blanket, on edition number 2. Bennett Doyle.
Former producer of the Jason and John
Show. That's right.
Assistant program director for 92.9.
That's right.
Old sly dog.
He is just a little sly dog, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Getting it in.
Snuck
good
it
for
in.
Him. Congrats, Bennett.
Yeah, that's what So what's the old adage? Is the adage going from 0 to 1 is harder than going from 1 to 2, or is it the other way around? Going from 1 to 2 is harder than going from 0 to 1.
I don't know, because I told myself I was never going past 1, so I don't have to go try to find out what it's like.
Right.
You know?
Jason and I both 1 and done.
We were 1 and done's, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yep.
Very rare in today's world.
You decided that, or was that just
before we were married? We
same
had that.
Thing.
Yeah,
same
absolutely.
Thing.
We went into the marriage. We were also older. You know, we're in our 30s.
So we're some old dogs here.
Yeah, right. Both of you.
Now, we know what you're going to do. We know what you're going to
do. Well, here's the thing.
He's
like,
getting it in.
40 is the new 30. Women are having children later and later in life these days.
You don't have to tell
me. Couples, you know, I guess I would say couples are having children later and later. You know, so, like, I have friends who are, like, mid-30s, like 35, 36, who are having their first, right?
Yeah.
Who are having their first child.
Faith's mom had Faith when she was 69. See, Brad, you're slick. That's good that you got that, because John,
so smart.
John couldn't tell.
He's the best.
I'm not, you're really getting to know me well
right
that
there,
you
brother.
Jumped in there.
I'm not going to sit there and laugh at something like that. It might be true.
No, that's
she,
a smart
she was older.
Right
she was much older, I think, in her mid to late 40s.
Yeah.
Wow. But to your point about women, been having them a little later.
Right.
But yes, now much more so.
Well, so like the thing with, you know, like
my mother-in-law was also 40, but for real, she was like 40.
Like my approach to and I think Bennett's got it right. I think Noah is 3.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be almost 4 by the time that baby number 2 arrives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you give yourself basically a college experience between the kids.
Is that what you need to do? My brother and I were 18 months. We didn't
There's two arguments. Some people say you should just do it and get it over with, you know, and just like go through the mud.
Well, which way are you leaning? Because you're the one that's up.
Well, is it not obvious to you yet, bruh?
What?
I mean, Riley's almost 2. You ain't seen no announcement on my Instagram, have you?
I guess it is. I guess I didn't realize Riley's almost 2 years old now.
Well, she's 16 months. I mean, so, you know, I don't know. How old is she? She was born in March of 2021.
By the way, breaking news on 92.9.
She's not two.
Bennett will be producing some of the shows next week on the Jason and John show, so you'll get to ask him.
We get to ask him directly. We get to ask him directly. So March 2021, August. So she'll be...
So you're going to do the 3 year separation?
She's not two.
17 yes. months.
3 year separation is what he's doing, Jason.
I mean, who knows, right? I mean, who knows exactly? Because you don't get to control it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.